Well, I'd like for you to turn to the book of John, chapter number 10. Book of John, chapter number 10. Have I told you as a church recently I love you? Have I? Good. Excuse me for this thought. Well, maybe not. I don't know. This is what thought went through my mind. Yeah, you give me plenty of job security. You all have a lot of problems, amen? But you have a problem too. It's called your preacher. But anyways, we work through this together. It's good to know the Lord and praise Him. I'd like for you to look with me. John chapter number 10 this morning. And I want to preach on something that's very dear to me. I don't know how to express it other than that. Chapter 10. And let's begin reading verse 7. I'm going to be going back to the very first verse here in a few moments. But just to read together, let's look at verse number 7. And I'm going to read down through verse 14 this morning. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and are known of mine." Those are the words of our Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are the good shepherd. We thank you, O Lord, today that you care for us. Your care is so great that you even died for us. And Lord, we know not any other words to say than thank you, and we love you for it. We ask, O God, that you might speak to our hearts. I pray for any in this room who may not know you, Savior, today would be a day that they realize that you indeed are a shepherd, seeking to lead them into an abundant life, seeking to lead them to eternal life. God, I pray for those who know you that you would just work vehemently in our hearts. God, that you might convict us where we need it, comfort us where we need it, teach us, build us, break us, whatever the need is in our hearts today. We ask you might do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Respect to the Word. What a great Bible we have. Amen. One of the things that we find as we go through the Scripture and as we really participate in day-to-day life is that most people do not understand the spiritual teachings of our Lord and Savior. In verse number 1, he says, "I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And he proclaims himself to be that door. We find that he goes on and he claims to be a shepherd. Notice verse number 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now, we have here two pictures. We have here, first of all, a picture of the Lord Jesus as the door of the sheep. And he is as he's referred to later, the porter. He's the one who at nighttime, when the sheep are brought into the fold, who would place himself across that doorway, and he would be the one over whom the predators would have to come to get at the prey. He was the door of the sheep. He was the protector through the night. But then he's also called the shepherd who comes down to that door. And in the morning he calls his sheep and they hear his voice. And though there may be many shepherds and many different herds of sheep within that particular fold, they go out following their shepherd's voice. But notice what it says in verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were he spake unto them. They don't really get it. So the Lord tries to really get across a couple of points. Notice verse number 7. As we read that again, he says, "Then said Jesus to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am what? The door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep." He's referring to the sheepfold, a fenced-in area, perhaps with rocks and stones, perhaps with sticks, whatever it might be, perhaps some sort of a natural area. There would be an opening, and there would be that shepherd at that opening guarding those sheep, the one who stayed there at night. The porters, he's called in one spot, but Jesus said, "I am the door." By the way, the Lord's on duty 24/7. Amen. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, every year this world has been here and will ever be. Our God is on duty. He is the shepherd. He is the one who is the door. But we also find in verse number 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." And he even says with that, the good shepherd does what? Giveth his life for the sheep. Now notice with me, first of all, verse number 8, 9, and 10 as we get to verse number 11, which is really my key verse this morning. In verse number 8, he says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Here is the Lord's purpose in our lives. He's seeking to what? Feed us. He's seeking to have us have the nourishment that we need for our lives. They will find the pasture that they need. He tells us the thief comes to try to destroy him. But he's come that they might have what? Life. They might have life. And life more abundantly. Now that doesn't mean that God's going to make Christians rich. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Now I do believe that God is prosperous and I believe that we can have prosperity, but not necessarily in the checkbook. That's God's business. By the way, did you know there's a lot more important things than money? Do you realize this morning there's a whole lot of things you cannot even buy with money? You know, you can't buy friends with money. You can buy associates with money. You can buy folks who will hang around you until it runs out. The prodigal son found that out. But true friends, that's not a product of finances. But it's something that, praise the Lord, you can have. Amen. Having peace in your soul, you cannot buy that, but it's something God can give us. And God wants you and I to have a good life. God wants us to have that kind of abundant living in our soul. That is His goal for us. And He says, "I am the good shepherd. And I want that so bad in your life, I am willing to give my life for it." And indeed, He did. If I have a key phrase this morning, it is this: His life is about us. The life of God, the life of Jesus Christ, is about us. It's not about Himself, it's about you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ came to what? To die on the cross for your sins and for mine. The Lord Jesus Christ came that He might what? Give you and I eternal life. And His life has been devoted to you and to me. It's a personal belief for me, but I think that the most beautiful of all the terms and names and descriptions of our Lord that's given throughout the Word of God, this term shepherd is a beautiful term. It depends on things. First of all, as I look at sheep, I find that sheep are dumb animals. And, well, the Lord says we are sheep. Guess what? He's not really complimenting us too much when He's saying that, because essentially we are what? We're not animals, but we're not really that smart. I received a little video this week, and in the video it said the top, the smartest 25 animals. And I thought, I wonder who put this together. I wonder what gave them the idea which one's smarter than another one. And it kind of amazed me. Sheep was number 17 on the list. Did you know that? But, I mean, they did make the list. And I was amazed. Squirrels were above sheep. Cats were above sheep. Dogs were above sheep. Dogs were number 6. If I remember correctly, pigs were number 2. For your horse lovers, I'm sorry, but the pigs are considered smarter than your horses. I think they were about number 11. And so they had all these, and I got done watching all this and seeing this, kind of fascinated by it, and how they came to the idea why this one was smarter than some others. Pigeons was in the top 10. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many people might make this list. We are sheep. And when the Lord talks about us being sheep, we're not really real smart. But there's some qualities about sheep that are really neat. Called sheep, what do? They like to what, congregate together. God's people love to congregate together. And sheep need, by the way, a leader. And that leader is the shepherd. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to be that leader. He's willing to be that shepherd. The one who is there all the time. You see, not always does the shepherd bring the sheep into the sheepfold that they might stay there and somebody else would watch him through the night. But many times that shepherd would be out in the fields and he would be there day and night, 24/7, all the time. A real picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I like that term. He is the shepherd of the sheep. In our text, he contrasts himself with two different individuals. In verse number 5, he contrasts himself with a stranger. But in verse number 12 and 13, he contrasts himself with an hireling. Did you notice those two verses? He is an hireling in verse number 12, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I want us this morning to just stop and think about the hireling. And life force us to stop and think about the shepherd. The hireling. His God is not the same God as the God of the shepherd. The God of the hireling is his hire. It is what he is going to get out of it. In some cases, that might be prestige or power. It might be that he has that opportunity to have a position over other people or a title. Hey, have you ever wondered? I've seen this on a number of different occasions. But if you ever wonder why a church of 45 people has 2 or 3 assistant pastors and a host of other titles, I've wondered that. I got a letter one day from a church, and on the page it had the pastor's name, the assistant pastor, the assistant to the assistant, the assistant to the assistant to the assistant, and there was another assistant, and somebody else that had this, and somebody else that had that. And I knew that they weren't running over 40 people in church, and I was wondering, everybody in church evidently has a title. Why? Because so often we are interested in positions. Are we hirelings? As God's people, let's make some application. Sometimes the goal of the hire is just what they're going to get out of it, the pay, the financial rewards for that. Now, I believe when it comes to the pastor of church, he ought to be maintained, but that ought not be his goal. That should not be the goal. It was not the goal of our Lord. It should not be the goal of others. Even so, if the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel, but at the same time, the Lord said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight there, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. But not only is that the case of a pastor, that's the case of a Sunday school teacher, that's the case of every Christian, whatever God has called us into. Are we shepherds or are we hirelings? Which is it? Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You see, the hireling is only concerned about what he can get out of it. He's not a watchman. He's not caring for what takes place in the life of sheep. He's not a father to them, as we find that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of in the Word of God. He says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For Christ Jesus have I begotten, or through Him, or in Him have I begotten you. He says, through the gospel. Paul said, I'm like a father to you. I've given my life for you. The hireling doesn't have anguish in his soul over those who are around about him. If he's a bus route person, he doesn't have anguish in his soul over those little bus kids. If he's a teacher, he doesn't have anguish in his soul about those who are standing before him. That's just not there. If he's even, let me pick on you, a pianist, if it's not an anguish in soul that seek to reach people, to have them come together and worship, there needs to be that kind of a thing. And what do we find about the hireling? When the wolves come, he leaves. When there's a problem, he's off into the wild blue yonder. Because he's an hireling. But let's focus this morning on the shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. He's also called another place the chief shepherd. But here he's called the good shepherd. And certainly, we look at this application to our Lord. We can look at it secondarily, the pastor, the teacher, any other leader that we might have. It might be whatever position we might have, whatever God's called us to, there is that application. But let's notice something about this shepherd that is very, very true. He gave his life for the sheep. It's a lifelong commitment to them. It's sticking with them, with it through thick and thin. I think of David. He was a shepherd. What was David? He was one who had what? The lion come one night. He had the bear come one night. Did David flee? No, he stood his ground. And he slew both of those. He speaks of it in 1 Samuel. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote and slew him. He was a true shepherd. Why? Because he was willing to put his life on the line. Jacob, we find, as he took care of the sheep of Laban's, and God blessed him so abundantly through all of that, but he stuck with it for 20 years there under Laban's rule. But he kept doing it and kept doing it. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a little phrase about Him that sticks with me so often. And the Lord Jesus, as He was going to prayer, there at Gethsemane, as He was in those last few hours and He told His disciples to stay here and pray, it says He went a little farther. He went a little farther in prayer. He went a little farther in everything He did. What did He do? He extended Himself and gave Himself that you and I might have eternal life. He went a little farther. He laid down His life. That's the shepherd. He's willing to give His all. And it's not for what He gets out of it. It's because He loves His sheep. We see something else about Him, and that is He knows His sheep. He knows them. Not just their names. He learns about them. He knows their habits. He understands their thoughts. He sees some of the intimate things within their lives. An intimate understanding, if you please. He delights them, in them. He doesn't disdain them. But He looks at them and He knows them. He said, I know my sheep. In verse number 14, I'm the good shepherd and what? Know my sheep. But did you know the second part there? And am known of mine. There's a relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ knows you and I. And when we make application in our own hearts and our lives, in whatever it is that God has placed us in, we ought to know those that are with us. Not just about them, but have that intimate understanding, knowing them. Having that fellowship with them. I was so blessed last night. I walked into Nick and Jenny's home. I hadn't been in the house in a long time. I looked around and I saw all the stuff that they'd done to the house. I've known Nick since he was a little baby. I remember when he was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck, and they weren't even sure he was going to live for a while. At one point, they said he was going to just grow up to be a vegetable. Then they later refrained from that a little bit, and I think they said he's going to be deaf. Jenny does admit that he's kind of deaf to some of her suggestions, but I've seen him grow up. He came to our school. And I've gotten to know him more in a little different way. I've always known how energetic, how willing to work. But I found out this young guy has some skills. He said, I want to show you something. I think it's the baby's bedroom, little Gracie's bedroom. Walked in and he showed me a little bench he made. You lift the top up and toys are inside the bench. It was like, oh, I just threw that together one day. And amen. I got to see that. Bless my heart. Amen. I was at Nate's and I saw he borrowed our trailer, hauled all kinds of lumber. I heard they were making a swing set. Build a kid's mansion in the backyard or something. I don't know what that thing is. What do you call that thing? And I told him you can see it from the freeway. And they showed me around and saw some different things. I got to know him better. You know, it's fun getting to know people. Amen. I like that. Down at Dan and Dina's, I've known Dina since she was 4'8". What is she now, 4'10"? She told me last night, she says, she was trying to convince everybody she was 19. I said, yeah, you're 19 inches tall. But you know, to be there, it was fun. Teased Danny about their patio. I thought it was probably really a tractor parking, but he just doubled it up last night for us. And we got out there. You didn't hear this, Danny. Bill looked up at the doors in your bedroom, steps out into that. And somebody said, I didn't know that door was there. And Bill said, that's a tree stand. Knowing people is wonderful, amen. Yeah. Rich has been hanging around here for a while. I'm just picking out some people. He's been hanging around here for a while. I don't know why. My son works for him. You'd think he wouldn't come near the place. But God's working his heart, and it's good. And good to see that and got to know him. Some of the thoughts that are down inside. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and if you can't remember this lady's name, just remember a carnival. It's Karna. Okay, she told me how to remember it. Oh, and I told her the story. We used to have a lady in our church. Her name was, matter of fact, it was Bobby. It was your mother-in-law. It was Mrs. Welsh. I could never remember her name, so I associated with grape juice. She came walking up steps one day, and I said, good morning, Mrs. I almost said grape juice. Uh, Brethren, it's fun to get to know people. Amen? It's a tremendous opportunity. We don't do that too often. We as God's people, we need to become like our Savior. And it only comes as we make opportunities what to converse one with another. And the opportunities He placed there, we take a heed of those and use them. It's one reason we do things here at church. Some of them are kind of goofy and you say, I don't want to do that. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the people that are there. I mean, to me, to go to 5 different houses to get a meal for a night, that's really kind of silly, isn't it? Well, it was a wonderful fellowship. And, you know, you just get to know some folks and you hear some things. Our Lord knows us. And we have the wonderful opportunity to know Him. Amen. But He's our God. And so as you and I look at this one who is our Lord, who is our shepherd, too often we act like the hireling, do we not? Too often we who stand in the pulpits act like a hireling rather than a shepherd. Too often when we sit in the pews, we act like hirelings rather than shepherds. I know we're sheep, but we're also shepherds. And you notice one other thing here. They know His voice. They know His voice. Go back to verse number 4 for just a moment. It says, when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Verse number 27. Verse 27 of the same chapter. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My hand, out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. It says they hear My voice. I've never seen this personally. I heard it described by J. Vernon McGee. He said that he was in the Jerusalem area, and he said he looked out and he saw there was like 3 or 4 different shepherds at the water hole, and he said they was all around the water hole, and pretty soon he heard one shepherd or saw one shepherd kind of go to the side a little bit and began to call. And he said out of that great big flock, certain sheep began to go after that shepherd. Pretty soon the other began to call and the sheep went going in another direction. And pretty soon they was in like 3 or 4 different herds of sheep. They knew the shepherd's voice. We had one time one of the greatest evangelistic meetings we'd ever had in our church. Some of you remember Bob Bear. Old Brother Bear, what a character he was. And he'd preach his heart out. Some folks had gotten saved during that meeting, and God had touched hearts, and it was a wonderful time. And I thought, oh my goodness, here's this seasoned veteran. He's preaching the church. He'd been a pastor for 25 years. He was now on the evangelism trail, and here was yours truly, green behind the ears. Is that where you're green at? Green somewhere. And I had to step back in the pulpit. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I preached that morning, and it was nothing what Brother Bear had done. Not at all. Wasn't even near it. And I remember I walked to the back of the church as I like to do it and greet folks and shake hands. And a little one I was giving a real hard time to a while ago, Dina, she walks up. She's a teenager at the time. And she looks up at me and she says, Pastor, it's so good to have you back in the pulpit. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. By the way, that leaves an awesome responsibility when I think about that personally. But do you realize, mamas, kids come home from school and what do they say first? They won't come in from out and play, and what do? What's the first word out of their mouth? Mom. Do you know why they say that? They want to hear your voice. Because that voice is a voice of assurance. Yeah. They never say dad. Dad carries the whip. They want the one that's going to hug them. You know, that voice of assurance. They know if mom's there, dad's close behind. But they want to hear that. Isn't that true? And there are folks who are waiting to hear your voice. Because you are that in their life. But too often we're the hireling. Too often we do what we do for what we can get out of it, for the praise, for the prestige, for the position, whatever it might be. But our Savior did it because He loves us. He loves us. Amen. Do you love people? Do you care about those about us? You ever sat at Walmart and watched all the people go in and out and wonder where they're going to be going in a few years? Or do we just go through angry because everybody's in our way? Seriously, are we shepherds or hirelings? What are we? It's a question we all need to ask. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for this tremendous portion of Scripture. Lord, forgive me that I don't know how to portray as it ought to be and to show You for whom You really are. But, oh God, we thank You this morning that we can come to this. And, oh God, I pray You'll speak to our hearts. Father, we sit here so often with everything being all about us. We claim to be Christians, Christ ones, and yet we're not like You. We're not caring for those round about us. We're hirelings. Oh God, forgive us. Work in our hearts this morning. Do that which only You can do. And Lord, I pray, though we've not spoken much of it, but God, for those who might be here without Christ, they might realize that You are truly the Great Shepherd. You're the one that can take them from this earth to heaven's glory. You are indeed the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by You. Lord, may they see that today. Work in our hearts, bless in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.